God, you're back. This is fantastic. I'm Claire Bottomley and I'm your host, and this certainly is the recruiting superhero. Yep, you're excited, I'm excited. And if you can't wait anymore, go ahead, listen, and let me know what you think. Hi, and welcome to another episode of The Recruiting Superhero. I'm Claire Bottomley and I'm your host. And on this episode, I speak with the lovely Alicia May Morton. Alicia is a learning and development manager for Lloyds Banking Group. She also has an Instagram page and a podcast of her own where she promotes self-development and healthy living. And this is exactly where I found her. In this episode, Alicia talks about career fear and how to manage this within yourself. She is insightful, funny, warming, and very genuine. And we had such a wonderful chat about all things career fearing. Have a listen. You never know. It might be just what you need to hear right now. Also, if you really like the show, don't forget to follow and share. Your support really helps. So today we've got Alicia May Morton. Hello, Alicia.
Hello, Claire.
Hi. Oh, yeah. Good. I can hear you. Yay.
Yay.
Good. Can That's you hear me okay?
I can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Loud and clear.
I know. Well, this is probably nothing to do with the microphone, just my voice in general, actually. It's quite loud and overpowering. But before we kick off with anything, I just want to explain to the listeners how I found you and why you're here. So I found Alicia May on Instagram, actually. We were following each other and I was very taken back by her forward thinking, outward posts and general carefree life and the way she is, that she directed me on her Instagram to her podcast page. And I listened to her well-being podcast, and then one popped up which was about career fear. And since I'm in recruitment, and she perfectly put a podcast episode up about career development, and you know what you're thinking about, etc., I thought it was a perfect time to maybe get her on so she can maybe discuss it a little bit further and really understand what that means. So instead of me going on a little bit more, I'll pass you over to Alicia so she can explain exactly who she is and what she does.
Great. Thank you, Claire. What a lovely introduction. My name is Alicia, as Claire says. I'm 29 years young. I live in London, work in London, and I grew up in a sleepy town in Norfolk. So actually being in the city isn't something that I'm really familiar with. It's only been in the last few years of my career that I've been this way. And actually, speaking of career, I do work in finance in the city. But in my personal time, I'm really passionate about fitness, health and fitness, and also doing work for charities. So you can see quite a lot of that kind of content on my Instagram page, which is at the Alicia May Way. So that's a bit about me, my job, and things I like to do in my spare time. I hope that's all right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, anyone that does jump onto Instagram and follow your kind of personal page there, you'll definitely see and be sort of taken back by you know how Alicia is, and it's, you know, it's a great page, and it's I found her very interesting to watch, and she seems as though she's got a journey and some aspirations. It's always nice to follow somebody that's got that kind of way of life in their thought process, and clearly she's obviously got the right people around her supporting her, and that really helps as well. But what we'll do is I wanted to really discuss the podcast episode that she let out, because, you know, Alicia, I really found you interesting. You know, it, you know, we're not talking about mainstream podcasts and everything all fancy dancy. You were just sitting there talking about yourself and saying, hey, you know, this is a fear. It actually does happen. People are finding these issues, you know, in life. And sometimes it's just nice to hear somebody else explain that they have it and, you know, this happens. And actually, I thought it was quite a kind of cool way of saying it. Career fear kind of works.
yeah, I, I, I love a bit of a catchphrase, to be honest. And the reason I chose this as a subject is I do work in learning and development, and I coach. And for me, developing people up for their career is something I'm passionate about, but it's something that I've, of course, had to do throughout my career as well. And each week I put up a poll on Instagram asking people to vote for a topic, and that week people wanted to know about career. So actually, it was something people were asking about. And I think at this time, whilst we're in lockdown, it's probably given people an opportunity to think about whether they are really happy and whether they want to make a change. So I thought it might be a good topic to broach. And yeah, I suppose that's how obviously you found me and listened to it. But hopefully it's been useful, and I'm sure we can share some more gems here on this podcast today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's exactly it. There is definitely going to be people which are going to be questioning their things, questioning what they're doing, and there's going to be a lot more time where they can maybe focus a bit more on their mental health and what makes them feel good and what they're actually doing for other people rather than what they're doing for themselves. So I guess right in the beginning, from watching you on Instagram and how you are, and you seem quite focused and like you know what you want to do. So I guess my first kind of question to you is, how did you know what you want to do? Or is it kind of best to have things planned out, or is it better just to be a bit more open-minded and kind of go with the flow?
I think really the way that things have ended up kind of happening for me and coming to the moments of realization of what is it that really makes me tick and what do I want to do is by being open-minded, by having an open mind and really kind of being open to different opportunities that may come your way. Because things can happen in unexpected ways. And actually, the current job that I've got wasn't the first job I interviewed for in my business. And I remember I went for this other interview, really wanted to work. It was in the secretariat board team, and it would be like writing minutes and representing board, and I thought, well, this sounds quite cool and serious. And it was pay rise, it was 2 grades higher as well. Grades is how we operate roles in our workplace. Yeah. And I thought, what a great opportunity. And I absolutely nailed the interview. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I came out of it and was like, yeah,
love it, love the confidence.
But then I didn't get the job, sadly. And I remember at the time thinking, oh, what done, and I got such great feedback, but actually they were just looking for somebody that already had experience of writing minutes, and I didn't have that experience to go hand in hand with the role. And 2 weeks later, one of my friends that I worked with at the time in HR said to me, oh, Alicia, there's a PA job coming up in legal. I know the person that's recruiting. Are you still looking for a role? And I was like, yeah, I am. I mean, I've never really thought about going into legal. I've not got a legal background, but it's another area of the business. And that came up, and actually that was how I then got really into learning and development and kind of realized my passion for developing others and for doing things at the side of the desk. And then 2 years later, when a role actually came up for learning and development, I was in a really good position because I'd had the opportunity in that job to put myself out there. So at the time, if you'd have said to me 5 years ago, Alicia, you're going to be working in a legal department in a bank, I'd have been like, really? No, not so sure. Like, but actually, I am, and I am still now, and I've worked my way up into the role that I am in, and it's made me realise that I am actually really passionate about all things learning.
Yep. Yeah, I got that when I listened to your podcast, actually, that you're all about the people and learning, even when I watch you on Instagram. And I think that's what resonated with me the most, is because you kind of feel that the way you think is the way I think. I feel the same. I feel that there's so many processes and things in place, and that's all great, but it is all about the people and making people understand their confidence. And I get a great joy out of that, speaking with others and just learning, really. And I think one of my sister said to me not too long ago, if I remember this quote, actually, I'll be very lucky. Let's see if I can do it. She said, to talk is to repeat something you already know, and to listen is to learn. And and that really does work. You know, if you carry on talking and you're just repeating what you already know, whereas if you actually sit back and listen and understand people, then you're learning something new, and not just about yourself but about others. And that can really resonate and move forward with yourself in different type parts of your life. I think, you know, not just listening, it's about listening to yourself, listening to others, and learning from that. And and not being frightened, I think, sometimes to talk to people about what it is that you want to do. It's not, I think some of the biggest things or challenges people have is saying things out loud. I don't know, would you agree, saying this is what I want to do rather than just waiting until everything's all ready?
I think there's definitely that fear of failure, isn't it? It goes back to that saying, the career fear. There's definitely that. And I think that once we put it into words as well, it gives an accountability, which is a good thing, because actually, if it's something that you want to do, saying it out loud, sharing it with a friend or with a colleague or someone else actually will inspire you and drive you more to achieve that goal, I think. But yeah, I definitely think there is that kind of initial, you know, uncertainty and fear, especially if it's something new that you've not done before.
Yeah, I think that, and also ultimately, should people compare themselves to others? That's kind of what happens. What do you think on that? Should people have something focused on that they should aspire to be, or should they just have that on the side and, you know, focus on themselves?
Well, I'm going to say it again. I say it lots. I probably put it on one Instagram post a week. It was definitely in the podcast as well, but comparison is the thief of joy. It's quite a common quote.
So true. Yeah.
So true. That if we compare ourselves to others, like I always say, when I'm having what I call a weak moment, because let's face it, we're all human beings, right? And it is natural to compare yourself to other people. Like, even if I think about my life, right, I'm 29 and quite a few of my other friends have started to have children or settle down. And sometimes I might look at that and think, oh, but I'd like a baby, but I've not had one yet. And you do kind of have that human instinct and that natural reaction to compare yourself. But actually, you should only really ever compare yourself to yourself. Like, you can be better than the version of you that you were yesterday, but comparing yourself to other people is only going to be damaging, more so in the long term. Like, I think there's a real difference between being inspired and driven by someone else's actions and it motivating you versus it actually being a comparison and it being something that makes you feel guilt.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's it is hard because you do look at, there's so many things that you can look at and that you can take and you can compare on yourself. But I think that's very true to say always look at yourself and only compare with yourself. It can be a really hard challenge, and I don't think you can repeat that enough, if I'm honest. I listen to podcasts and I listen to all sorts of things all day, and I'll listen to something and I hear it and I go, oh yeah, I remember that. And you don't actually remember it all the time.
Yeah.
And actually hearing it sometimes in your ear again, saying, you know, it could just be at that right moment where you're feeling that. So, no, I think that's a fair, I think I'm guilty of it too. I definitely have compared myself to others before, and you look on certain things, but as you get older, I think you definitely feel that it's a lot easier. I would never wish to be younger again. I would never ever want to be a young person with this much social media in my hands ever. But yeah, so I don't envy you guys, younger guys and girls. So yeah, but I guess in terms of now we're talking about age, can you learn anything at any age, at any time? I guess, you know, what do you think about that?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think literally no matter what age you are, like, I think I did share this example on my podcast, but actually there's a lady that goes to my gym, obviously when we're not in lockdown, and she's in her 80s and she does yoga and she's fantastic. Like, she's probably more
flexible. Not that same one that's all over Instagram, is she? That same like old lady that's just banging out her muscles. I was like... all over in different, I feel like she's in different countries all the time, you know, showing her guns. Yeah. And I'm like, who is this old lady that's like really putting me to shame? That's what she's doing.
I'm afraid I've not got a claim to fame there, Claire. But no, this lady is amazing. And I think that's just proof that at any age, you know, she keeps that subtlety in her joints. And she just said that it, you know, helps keep her young. And she loves to come and be surrounded by people of different ages and to, you know, stay fit and healthy. And I think that is evidence in itself, because, you know, I actually only started yoga myself 3 years ago, and before, in a forward fold, which is when you're kind of standing up straight and then you lean over, I could only reach my hands to my knees, whereas now I can get my palms flat on the floor. And, you know, over the process of months, weeks, years of training, I've been able to do more things. And I actually set myself a personal goal in lockdown of accomplishing the splits. I could never even do them as a child. And I have managed to nail them during lockdown.
Wow.
So that's just something that I've taught myself. Bit of persistence, I think that's key, really. And to stay positive and not to give up, you know, because you do need to keep repeat, rinse and repeat, to build a habit and to learn a new skill sometimes, depending on what it is. But definitely, like, age is not a barrier at all. And it is literally just a number.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, depending on, you know, we can just talk about the strengths and maybe attributes that you could adopt to help with this. But I certainly agree in the sense that in order to be able to achieve something, don't always look at the end goal, achieve a piece of that each each time. You know, if you're saying that every day do a piece and every, you know, do it 10 minutes there, 15 minutes there, you're going to achieve and it's going to add up. It's the other way as well, isn't it? With a diet, for instance, if you eat too much chocolate every day, it might seem like a little amount each day, but 7 days a week, you know, it adds up to 4 bars of chocolate.
I've been watching.
No, it's no personal attack here. but it is the same, isn't it? And for some reason, I mean, I'm 40 and it's taken me such a long time to realize that, you know, small, tiny, incremental motivations and strengths and planned events in your life every single day will make the difference, rather than a huge, massive goal and a big, wide open space to complete it. I think sometimes it's good just to sort of do that little focus and keep moving on at that particular point.
For sure. I think that's a really good point you've hit on there. Like, it's so good to, the thing that I see too often, actually, because it's as part of my role where I coach people at work, and from what I've learned from the qualification I studied, is that people look at that big overarching goal and it can be overwhelming. And it's like, how do I get from A to B? But actually, if you break that down into smaller, more manageable chunks, it's like, at the moment I'm writing a book, and I've been writing a book for a while, but again, I decided to make the most of lockdown and think, right, this is really time I'm not going to get back. You know, I'm saving two and a half hours a day on commuting. So I've started to write again. And for me, I've been setting myself a kind of target of 20 to 25 pages a week. And that's just each week I've been knocking that off and smashing the target. And by the end, I think I've got another 2 weeks' time now, I will have a first draft of a book. Whereas 3 months ago, that seemed impossible.
But it's the same as if you sit there and think 25 pages a week, that seems like a lot, doesn't it? But I guess you've probably broken that down into either time during the week or pages, or maybe paragraphs, or however you're doing it. But, you know, I think that's the issue as well, is that it can be quite overwhelming by setting yourself targets, which you just need to keep breaking it down. That's what I think. And also having the motivation. I think that's one of the strengths, I think, that you need to sort of adopt, is planning and, you know, having the focus and motivation. But, and like I've said before previously, I think, is that motivation is only something that you can create yourself.
Exactly. And I think that when you create it yourself as well, it's more genuine and authentic, and you will stay accountable, because I think it is great to be inspired and motivated by other people, but that wears off. It's not going to stay with you forever. Whereas if that self-motivation is something that will just keep driving you, like if you can keep yourself motivated and yourself accountable, like look at it like the carrot stick approach, you know, you're dangling that carrot stick in front of you. And one thing that I do actually, I know that we're going to get onto this shortly when we talk about mentors and coaching, but one thing that I do is I set myself a reward in relation to my target. So my reward at the moment is, if I do my page total each week, I treat myself on a Monday night to a takeaway. And that's kind of like my reward to say, well done. And I know that probably sounds a bit daft, because it's like giving your dog a treat for, you know, staying on sat on the floor. But actually, it's something really nice to reward yourself with and recognize that actually something you've achieved.
I think that's really good, because no one else, if you're constantly waiting to be rewarded, as in you're waiting for other people to say you're great and you've done really well and this is your gift for doing really well, then your expectations may be too high. Whereas you can always set that expectation yourself. And if a takeaway is a reward, that sounds silly or daft to other people maybe, but I mean, well, certainly to me, it wouldn't. I mean, I do love a takeaway, me. So I would definitely go, So I get that.
I know. And it doesn't always have to be food. It was really funny. I was having that conversation with my coach. She was like, what would be a reward for you? And I laughed and I was like, probably something food related. Be as simple as treating yourself to some new makeup or a dress, or I don't know, just something that would fit the bill really. But yeah, I find that's quite a cool thing to do, to have to look forward to.
Exactly. I think so too. I think that's a great one to sort of share with people. You did mention a couple of times in there that you've got a coach, so let's move on to that kind of question, I guess. Mentors, coaches, therapists, I guess, whatever you kind of want to call them. You obviously say you have one, or maybe you intermittently have one, or however it works. Do you think that we should all get one? Is it Should we collect one? Should we get one? Should we have one for a bit? Should we? What do you think?
Oh, I would class it as a lockdown essential item, to be honest. I definitely think so. I mean, for me personally, I have both a mentor and a coach. We'll talk about that in a sec. But a mentor for me is somebody that really is your sponsor and someone that can support you with your career. Whereas I think the difference between a mentor and a coach is that a coach can really help pull things out of you and actually ask you those type of questions where you, it's almost similar to a therapist in that way. The coach is there to help tease and pull these things out of you that you know you want to do and just kind of challenge your opinions and your way of thinking and, you know, help you come to your own realization with goals and targets and ask you quite provoking questions, which is exactly what my coach Alex does. So her name is I Am Alexandria Maria, and she is on Instagram if anyone's interested in following her, because even
on Instagram
at I Am Alexandria Maria.
Okay, lovely.
And she has got some amazing content that she shares for free. But yeah, I discovered her and first of all went to one of her manifestation workshops and kind of learning about affirming, manifesting your dreams. And I actually read The Secret during lockdown. It was a book that my best friend bought me when I was feeling sick. And it really helped change my perspective and my mindset. And that's how I then got introduced to Alex, because she's really into that kind of thing. And she offers one-to-one coaching. And because I had this goal in mind of writing a book, I thought me having a coach is also going to give me that extra level of accountability, but the support in a different way. Like, she has made me think about writing my book like I never would have done, the takeaway treat, breaking it down to pages, having goalposts. Like, she's really given me some tangible measures and some things that I can work with, and she's even started to pull out around my day for me, my schedule, and what does that look like, and how can I free up time in certain places to focus on my book, and how, because the book is the main goal, I should build everything else around that rather than being busy for the sake of being busy. So it's really helped having that other person to speak to and to bounce ideas off of.
It's interesting because you know, when you say it all out loud like that consistently, it sounds like a lot of stuff that you're discussing, which actually, if you don't have a coach, who else are you discussing those things with? Be family members or your partner, etc. So thinking about all of the time maybe that, and I don't want to say this in a flippant way, but sort of using up or, you know, putting on someone else is, you know, what should I do here? What's your thoughts on this? You know, constantly doing that with a partner or support or your family. It may be a biased answer. They come back, they don't push you as hard. And I think that it's quite clear what you're getting out of having a completely non-biased coach separate from everything can really, allow you to really, you know, let yourself flow without worrying that you're putting on someone else or that you're not really going to get the right answer. So, I mean, that clearly, I mean, different, I think there is mentors and coaches. I think there definitely is a different mentor, someone obviously you can look up to and sort of aspire to, and that can bring you into a certain, you know, as you say, work, you know, working piece or professional piece. Coaches are there to sort of really be aware and help you bring out some of your personal attributes or desires or dreams or goals and make them, real, visible for you. And then I guess the next thing you said is that you have a therapist as well. Talk about that part as well.
Yeah, and you know what? I think, although obviously we've been more specifically speaking about career here, like, I think that the therapy part of thing has helped me with my career, because actually last year I was signed up for stress, and it was work-related stress. And I, in 2017, I lost my nan, which was for me a close family bereavement. She was someone I was very close to and saw her more like a mum because of the relationship and kind of going back to childhood and the various stories there. So I was really struggling at that point. And for me, it was that trigger moment that made me initially get a counsellor. So I first had the counselling. I got 5 sessions for free through work, and that was brilliant, got referred. And then I kind of stopped there, and I shouldn't have stopped really, Claire. Like, I stopped too soon. And of course, I got this job that I'm in now, the learning and development role, and I just threw myself into that, which was brilliant. But then last year, summer came around, and about 6 to 8 months of increased workload, work stress, not having dealt with my nan's death properly, really all caught up with me. And it was just a little bit like, the analogy I use is it's like a glass, and my glass was almost full, and every little thing that was happening each day was adding a drop, 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 and then I just overflowed. It was almost like overnight I woke up and everything fell apart. And when I look back, I could unpick the pieces, and I have been able to with my counsellor, and recognise the trigger points at work, at home.
Before that glass gets full, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. And that they're the tools it's given me now, because I'm not going to lie to you, at the moment, for example, in my team at work, one of my colleagues is off sick. We've got a couple of people that are out of the business. I'm running a really skeletal structure at the moment. And that could, again, be an opportunity for me to go, wow, overwhelmed, too much going on. But actually, because I know those triggers, and I still have therapy through video at the moment, during lockdown every 2 weeks, it's been something that's been so beneficial to keep me on track. And I now have it ongoing. Like, I don't necessarily think that I've still got a specific trigger that's happened. I just see the benefit in it. And actually, Americans, I don't know whether you've heard this saying before, but Americans recommend having a shrink all the time. And that's what they call them, shrinks, which I think is a bit of a strange word.
Yeah, I don't really understand that. Maybe it shrinks something in your brain. I don't know.
I know. But I definitely agree with that, because for me, I spend money on a gym membership. I spend money on good food. So why wouldn't I spend money on
your brain
that's going to benefit my mental health as well as my physical health?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, it resonates with me a lot. I had, not just like yourself, a number of things that you've had to just get over and keep getting over, and things that always come, you know, obstacles come in your way again, which were never there before, and then suddenly present themselves, and you just don't know how to deal with them. So I think sometimes it's really worthwhile going outside and speaking to somebody that can really develop your own ability to see those flags and see those triggers, and remembering that it is actually totally okay to have these trip ups or these obstacles or these slightly dark days, and you wouldn't be able to learn any more about yourself without having those moments. So I guess for me, that kind of lends itself, pushes into the question that I kind of want to ask you next, really, is, do you kind of believe that everything happens for a reason? You know, does things come in your path at certain times for reasons, whether it be a memory or you know, a child of fear, or maybe a person or a job or something? What do you think?
You know what, I think that, yeah, I really do believe everything happens for a reason, Claire. And I actually, I've spoken about it in my podcast this week, which is not on career, it's actually on relationship stories and dating. So it's a funny one, give it a listen if you haven't already. But I talk about in that how, you know, my various breakups and issues I've had in the past with, you know, I've had somebody that's cheated on me, and I've had someone that ghosted me, and all these awful dating experiences that I share on this podcast. But actually, I do think everything happens for a reason. They were not the right people in my life at the right time. And since then, you know, I am much happier, and I've learned to love myself. And, you know, I am now in another relationship, which I've been in nearly 2 years, and that's going really well. But I think in terms of career, if we actually bring it back to the topic itself, I mentioned at the start that I went for this other job, didn't get it, and then got the job I'm in. And for me, that felt like it was very much fate, like I was meant to be in this role. And even since being in this job, I had the opportunity presented to me last year to take on a formal qualification that was paid for. And that's when I then got the qualification in facilitation and coaching. And that's inspired me now to go on and have my own business. And at the moment, I'm working alongside, because I coach in the workplace, but I am looking at, you know, starting online coaching and working with clients privately. And I think eventually that's something that I would like to do more of, you know, because like I say, I really love watching people develop and supporting them through that journey. And I think I wouldn't have realized this about my career had I not have kind of fallen into these various steps.
It's funny, isn't it? When you look at your timeline, you just look at it all, and I think there's certain pinnacle moments and in my life where I wouldn't be where I am now if that just didn't happen, or I didn't meet that person, or I didn't read that advert in the paper or something like that. It's just really bizarre how life is. And I believe that as well, that everything does happen for a reason. And if you're not meant to have something that you thought you're meant to have, see it as try and see it as the positive, and try and understand, see where the silver lining is in that, I think. But what I wanted to move on to, because one thing that I think people are especially right now in lockdown is, and I guess in most of the time in their lives, there is this sort of wall where they go, shall I make this change? Or how does it, you know, how do you make that change? How do you decide that you're unhappy or unhappy and things like that. And so I guess, how would people decide, I mean, I just ask it basic, how do people ask when to change? You know, what should they do? What should they think about?
Yeah, so I think upon, again, this is something I kind of touched on in the career podcast that I did myself. And I think for me, really, it's with a feeling or a thing. So I think if you're feeling unhappy in your job, you're unhappy at home, you know, there's something that's triggered emotionally and mentally, that's a sign to change. But I think also it could be a thing, e.g. you need more money or you need more flexibility. You need something to change in order for you to meet that certain goal or that new requirement. You know, maybe you've just had a family, you've just started a family, you've got a couple of new babies, you know, things have started to get crazy at home and you think, actually, I need more flexibility in my job. And that could be a trigger point to decide, well, I'm going to ask to reduce my hours or condense my hours or perhaps look for a different role that would suit that need. So I think depending on where you are in life and what you need from it as a thing or how it makes you feel can be so important. Because I mean, we spoke about this in 2017, which was, for some reason, it seems to be one of those years where everything happened, good and bad. But I was really unhappy where I was living, was in a bad relationship, which came to an end. I didn't like my job I was in at the time. I had quite a boss that was quite a bully, to be frank. And that was when I then, you know, went for the job that I've got now. And for me, I wasn't happy at home or at work. And for me, you spend most of your time in one of those places, if not both of them. So I just knew that something had to change. So in order to make me happy, I did obviously change my circumstances and the situation there. So I think, yeah, lockdown probably has been a really good time for reflection for people, because we've quite literally been, you know, in our homes with our families, with people we love, or some of us have been alone. And that might then beg the question of, are we happy where we live, even in our location, in our house? Is it important now to have an outdoor space if we've not already got one? I do think this has been a real time for reflection, Claire. I think that hopefully it's been time that a lot of people will think about what, you know, they might want to change in the future, if anything.
I think that, I mean, it can be literally as simple as what you're saying. The two things, where are we at most? We're at home and then we're at work. That's generally, you know, 80% of the population have those two areas, working or family, you know, family life. And I think it's fair to say that if you're unhappy in both of those, that's going to be a very challenging and difficult situation for you. And you know, I wish you all the best to sort of try and pull yourself away and listen to outsiders to help you away from that situation. But if it is that you are happy in one and unhappy in the other, then it's really worthwhile establishing how to try and move away from that. Because if you're unhappy in one and you go to the other, as you said, you know, you can be happy there, but if something seeps over and if you're unhappy, it just, your psyche will just not grow from having a large proportion of your life, such as, you know, 50% of your life basically unhappy. And it's really hard maybe to also admit that one part of it is unhappy. And when I say unhappy, and maybe you might also mirror this, is that when you say unhappy, it doesn't mean that you're sitting there at your desk feeling really miserable about every single part of your job. It could be specifically one fairly large part of your job, everything else you love, but one bit of your job that you don't like, or one bit of your home. It doesn't have to mean that you're unhappy completely. It's just about going, right, what is it you're unhappy about? And also sort of unpicking it that way.
Definitely, like it doesn't always have to reach crisis point of like, no, exactly. Oh my God, I've got to leave. Like, you definitely, I think what you've got to realize is, I actually said this about relationships in the podcast I did this week, but you deserve nothing less than perfect. And just let that sit with you for a moment. Like, we spend a lot of time at work, and we will do, I mean, probably my generation will be at work till they're 80 at this rate with pensions, but you know, we spend so much time at work and at home, and wouldn't it be amazing to wake up every morning and really look forward to getting to work and to do something that doesn't feel like a job, because you love it and you're so passionate about it. And for me, I'm still going on that. Like, I obviously love my current role, but there's so many more things that I've discovered in the last couple of years that have made me go, actually, this is where I'm heading and this is where I'm going. And you know what? Sometimes the road isn't linear either. Like, that's one thing I just wanted to pull up on, is that I have moved as well in my career, sideways, down, up, in various different roles and different opportunities that have come about. And I've not really known where I'm going. But actually, I've come to a roundabout place in my late 20s. There's still friends of mine that are in their late 30s that still don't really know what's going on. But as I say to them, you can make a change at any time in your life, and don't worry too much about the process. I think that you grow through what you go through, for sure.
And also, I'd say that don't worry too much about other people saying that you can't do something, because I think that most of the time when people say, you know, throw a negative in there or throw a little obstacle in there, it's generally because they might not want you to go as too fast. People like to pull you back a bit because they want to stay a little bit longer in their sort of sadness, I guess, or their kind of dark areas. But we're very close to sort of time now, but I can't believe how quickly it's gone, actually. Isn't it crazy how it's quick, it's just disappeared in time. But we do need to sort of close the conversation, which I'm really sad about. But I think that you've really left there with some really great basically points that people can think about, and I really hope you guys do if you're listening. It's really important. Now, Alicia, what I normally do with anyone that's come on the show is I try and get them to put across maybe a few tips or takeaways that listeners can walk away with, and basically look to do straight after this podcast, you know, that they can do in the start of the, you know, their journey of change or development, or, you know, maybe they're just thinking about doing something new. So is there anything that you can say to listeners, whether it just be one liner or a few tips that they can do that can help them?
Well, Claire, if you know me by now, you should know it's not a one liner. I have got, actually, I've shortened it to 5 top tips, but they're only 5 sentences, so don't worry.
Oh, great. Go for it. Name them out.
So my first one is what I call the iceberg. So get a piece of paper and draw an iceberg. Literally, it doesn't have to be fancy, just a diamond shape and a water line going across. And I call this the iceberg challenge. And what you need to do is fill in the bottom half of the iceberg, so the bit that sits beneath the water. And for you, that's your moral compass. That's the things that turn you on and make you tick. So for me, in my moral compass, for example, I've got charity, helping other people, developing people, family. So things that are really important to me. So I think that's a good place to start from, is knowing what's important to you. And that can then help you think about what you might want in your career or what you want from life in terms of balance. My second tip is to get a mentor. Remember as well, it doesn't have to be somebody you know. You could actually reach out to somebody in a field you're interested in. So I recommended to one of my friends recently, she wants to go into social media marketing. And I said to her, why don't you reach out to someone on LinkedIn that's currently in that role and connect with somebody, and that's the job you want to go to, and start to learn and spark up a conversation with them. So it doesn't have to always be someone in your workplace. It can be an external mentor. And actually, my mentor is external that I have, and I would really recommend that. My third tip is challenge yourself. Why don't you learn a new skill? Just put yourself out there, like I did with the splits. That's a really great way of growing and having a growth mindset and enabling your mind to have that plasticity. If it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. Remember that. So challenge yourself, learn a new skill is tip 3.
Very good. I love this. It's tip 3, tip 4. I like it. Go. 4.
Yeah, we're getting there. Tip 4, goal setting. Set yourself some goals. Very important. As we were saying earlier, make sure that they are really smart goals, which means they're specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. You want to make sure that they are very specific. Break them down into smaller chunks and share it with a friend if you can, because if you share it with somebody, you're 60% more likely to actually land smashing that goal. So write them down, share it, set yourself a goal right now. And then finally, I think really this is the most important one for me. Number 5, ask yourself, am I really happy? And what areas of my life work for me right now? And I think that really when we lead with happiness, and we lead from a place of gratitude as well, you know, think about the things you love in your life and be grateful for them, that actually we can start to recognize the areas that might need improvement. So there you go. Hopefully that wasn't too long.
No. That was great. I think the mental one. I think the mental one is perfect. I think, you know, definitely reach out to people. Most people are willing to help. Most people are willing to either offer a little bit of tidbits of support, or if they're not able to, then certainly can direct you into a more, you know, to someone that can. So I think it's a brilliant tip. Yeah, at the end there, you know, always doing something that makes you happy and focusing on that and goal setting and things like that are really important. So important. So yeah, absolutely amazing tips that you've given there. And I hope that some of the listeners can just focus on those pieces. No one's looking at, I think it's very easy to do a fight or flight in some of these situations. And this isn't that. This isn't you finishing something and just going to something else or freaking out and realizing that things are wrong. This is just you looking at what you're doing and saying, right, okay, what small changes can I do to enhance my day or enhance my week or enhance this part of my life? So brilliant tips. So but before we go, Alicia, I want to just give you a little bit of a plug on Instagram so people can find you. That's where you're most active, I find, is on there. So yes. Alicia May can be found on the handle. Actually, you go ahead. You go and plug yourself. You do it again.
Bit of self, big up. If you can't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else?
That Woo! Is it. Go, girl.
So I am at the Alicia May Way on Instagram. There you will find all sorts of things from health and fitness inspiration, talking very openly about mental health because it's something that I'm very passionate about and have been through. And also it's where you can access my podcast. So I've got a link in my bio with all of my various ventures. I am writing as well. Like I say, at the moment, I'm an up and coming author. So I hope that some of you that may follow me in the future might even be reading my book in the future. Who knows? But yeah, please feel free to connect and add me. I always love connecting with new people, and hopefully you'll find my content inspiring. And I've always said this, you know, even if I can only motivate or inspire one person in a year, I mean, that's more than I would ever wish for, really, and hope for. So that's great. So yeah, thank you for your support, Claire, and it's been so lovely to have met you through social media. And I think actually, I know social media can be a bit of a what's the word, a bit of a vortex at times, but it's been amazing to connect with you and to connect with other people, especially at a time when we are so disconnected physically. I feel like more connected than ever remotely. So thank you.
Well, no, you're very welcome. And I really appreciated you providing your time to come on and talk to me about everything. I love following you. I look forward to continue following you, and hopefully anyone that's listened here can give Alicia May a follow as well. And if you did hear her on this podcast, please do let her know. She'll be more than happy to, I guess, be excited, be very happy and excited about that. Well, I certainly would.
Slide into my DMs. You know.
I've only just learned that whole sliding into your DMs. Well, you know, obviously I'm not even part of that crowd. You know, I don't even know how to do that, sliding into DMs. So, Alicia, it's been absolutely wonderful. I hope you have a wonderful day and a wonderful week, and I will keep following you on Instagram.
Yay. Thank you. I look forward to hearing more of your podcasts in the future, Claire. I think it's really great what you're doing around.
Thank you. Lovely. All right, then.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye. 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 Well, that was the wonderful Alicia May Morton on the episode where we had a great chat. I really enjoyed speaking with her, and I really hope you enjoyed listening. And I really hope you take away some of those tips and implement them straight away. I think one of the things that resonated with me a lot was, you know, you've got kind of two places where you are. You're at home or you're at work. And if you find yourself unhappy with one or the other, it's really something you need to look at and focus on. And if you're unhappy with both, then really try and sort, outside help and speak to some people that may be able to get you out of that situation. But ultimately, don't have that career fear. Really try and move on, focus, set goals for yourself, and maybe consider getting a mentor or approaching some people that you aspire to be or that you feel that add some value. And just maybe ask. There's no harm in asking, and you can definitely get the support that you need from very small interactions with people. hopefully you took something away and that you can implement it straight away and you can feel good about what you're doing. I hope you join me next week where I speak to another great guest. If you like what you heard, please remember to follow and share.